That's just it's just flavored high fructose corn syrup. Like it's killing you, Matt.
I know, it's awesome.
It's
It's
amazing.
delightful.
Every drink of it is worth the death.
No, it's not. I care about you guys. I don't want you to die.
My stomach is a dumpster, Chris. I don't treat myself well. I eat garbage all the time.
Why?
It's Some easy, and I'm lazy.
Temples. My body is a temple of doom.
Yes. Kali Ma.
Where is here for you?
Oh, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Where are you?
Colorado as well. Chris and I used to live in the same town. That's how we met.
Oh, okay, cool.
Except
you don't live in
a larger metropolis.
Live in a cave,
though. Actually, I live now in a smaller place than Chris does, because Chris moved to a slightly larger area.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But still a cave community where, you know, Ewoks live there for some reason.
Mostly, yeah.
Yes, there are Andorians here.
Yeah, James and I met at sword fighting classes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How you like that?
All right. I don't. But but how about that, huh? Good for you. Wow. Okay. That's what I'm up against.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two well-trained sword fighters. What are you gonna? Well, one well-trained sword fighter. One that. Well, I kind of flop around a lot.
I will bring a gun to this sword fight, much like Indiana Jones did.
That's cheating.
And I will. No, it's not.
That's cheating.
It's not cheating.
Actually, there are rules in fencing for using rubber band guns. It's kind of weird, but it's a thing.
What? Really?
The fencing we do, yeah.
There's that.
It's so
I can bring
bizarre.
A rubber band gun? Because I have a rubber band gun.
Yeah, I've actually seen people at the bigger events who have like those rubber band like Gatlin guns. They die fast.
Jesus.
Because it's, I mean, you can kind of avoid a rubber band, I would imagine, pretty easily.
Actually, the best thing to do is have everyone pull the rubber band guns, all go to shoot, then have one guy just take all the shots and walk off the field and everyone else kill the guys who have guns in their hand.
Oh, I also played another game this week, so we can talk about that.
What is it?
Oh, MLB The Show 14. For PS4.
You really want to talk about MLB The Show?
Yeah, I'll talk about some baseballs for a little bit, because it's the only way my team will ever win a World Series, so I'm kind of excited.
Okay. You know, I played Mercenary Kings. As well.
I hate that game.
Well, then we can really talk about it.
Okay, we will. Because I don't like it.
Alright, well, turn down your PS4, because I can still hear it.
Well, you turn down your face, because I got to find the remote. A big jerk.
I've turned down my face.
I don't think you can.
There's
a lot of scrunching involved.
I got my first credit card the other day, guys.
Me too!
Really?
Yeah, like last week.
Yeah, like last week. What's going on, Matt? What's up with us?
Yeah.
We're like bros.
I figured I needed one because I needed my car fixed immediately.
Ah.
And plus I need to build credit,
yeah.
So. Who'd you go with?
Who did I go with? Capital
Jesus.
One.
Oh, yeah, me too, because they take everyone.
Yeah, I got a Journey card, which gives me 1% cash back on everything and doesn't require any sort of annual money.
Fee.
Yeah, no money.
Yeah, I don't have a fee either. I don't know what kind I got. Hold on.
What's your credit limit?
Capital $300.
Same here.
Yeah, Capital One Platinum. Yeah, sure. They take everyone, so.
Yeah.
I got my car fixed, and I'm very pleased with it.
Nice.
That was actually the exact same reason I got a card about a year or so ago was, oh, crap, I got to get my car fixed. And
yeah, I needed
a... like, in a month, but I don't have it today.
Yeah. I needed my axle fixed because my axle didn't work anymore, so.
Yeah, that's a big part of the car.
Yeah, it was only $70 to get it fixed, though, so that was fun.
That's not bad.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's
yeah. I know some. Reasonable. Like I said, I bargain shop. I know people. I went and bought the part and brought it to my friend's house, and he replaced it in like 5 minutes.
So, Are you saying all this to try and get your nickname changed from Moneybags to Thrifty Kirion?
No, I want Moneybags. Moneybags forever.
Okay.
Well, it could also be like Extreme Couponer Kirion.
No.
Coupon Kirion.
I like Moneybags. People call me that in real life now.
All right, we'll try to keep it, but you got to stop being so darn thrifty.
Yeah, well, times are tough.
Cheapy Kirion.
Even for the Monopoly man, times get rough.
All right,
we can't all live. Sometimes we have to slum down to Baltic Avenue, and it's not
that great.
There's
nothing wrong with Baltic Avenue.
Yeah, it is. It's a turd town. No one wants to live on Baltic Avenue.
That's the one that's cost $60, right?
Yeah, it's the cheapest one. It's a piece of garbage.
Yeah, and you get $24 every time someone lands on that. You pay it off.
Yes.
If you're playing with like three or four people, your average of paying that off is like, like four rounds around the board.
No.
Yeah, you pay it off.
No.
Saving that
bad
money.
Game.
Technically, you pay it off in three if it's 25 a pop at a 60 purchase.
Well, I'm saying they don't always land on it though.
Oh yeah, four circles total. Yeah, you'll hit that on average.
Yeah. Just on average, about four people, four circles. But yeah, we'll do that. That's math. Accurate math.
You know, I'm sure someone out there has actually worked up the statistics of payback on different Monopoly properties.
I think they're probably the best Monopoly player at that point.
No one wants to live on Baltic.
At that point, they're a jerk. They're not a good Monopoly player. They're just a jerk. That's the guy one wants to play with.
You want to live on the boardwalk. That's how it goes.
You want to live on the boardwalk, but can you afford to live on the boardwalk?
Hell yeah, because I make the rules.
So you play as the banker?
Of course.
So you're a cheat.
Yeah.
Do you guys put the
I own house at Clue, too.
Whenever you have to pay taxes or something, do you guys put that in the center of the board and whoever lands on free parking gets it?
No.
No?
No.
That's...
I honestly haven't played Monopoly in like 5 or 6 years.
What is wrong with you?
I have much better board games.
Like?
Axis and Allies, Twilight Imperium, Settlers of Catan, Chaos in the Old World.
Oh.
Arkham Horror.
Real games.
Yeah.
I get it. Not these baby games.
Monopoly's not a baby game.
Oh, it's a total baby game.
Monopoly is not
for babies.
Monopoly is not a baby game. Monopoly is a family destroyer.
Yeah, baby game for babies.
Yeah, Monopoly, it tears apart families. You're right, like babies. Okay, what's going on, everybody? This game is broken. Barry's not here, so I'm sort of hosting it. I'm Chris Locke. I'm joined today by Mr. Moneybags Kirion.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
And joining us again is James Redmond. Nice to have you again, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So we're going to talk about – we're you know what? Maybe we won't talk about video games. Maybe we'll just talk about Monopoly for like an hour.
There has been Monopoly video games, so
yeah,
we could talk about all those gems.
They've all been garbage. Let's talk about
real
video
but
games.
But we don't want to let that game monopolize the podcast.
I can tell you guys know each other. That's just great.
Yeah, we're good friends.
Clearly.
So, what do you guys want to talk about first? We got a decent list here. You know, here, I'm going to choose, actually. Matt, talk about MLB. Get that out of the way. I don't want to talk
about what?
MLB again.
Oh, MLB The Show 14. I just got it on PS4, and it is glorious. It's obviously the best looking in the series, and they've, you know, tweaked the mechanics a little bit here and there to, you know, make it a little more playable and intuitive with the controls. But other than that, it's the MLB The Show that everyone loves, and it's just back again, prettier than ever, and it's got beards.
Yeah, we talked about that when we had Brian Bell on. The beard tech is pretty.
Yes,
pretty awesome.
The beard tech is phenomenal.
Don't think I've seen better beards. I'm looking forward to this new generation of beards in video games.
Me too. So lush.
Like, that'll be like the defining factor. Like, what was it this year? It was like how many colors of brown could you use in this last generation?
Yeah, make it more brown.
Yeah,
go now.
And then so this generation will just be how good are your beards?
Yeah, it's kind of terrible.
Video games are the worst. All right, so that was MLB. Let's talk about something else now. Thanks.
Sure.
You guys played Wolfenstein, both of you.
Yeah, I pre-ordered it, waited up to play it Monday night on Steam, and man, second I came out, I think I logged about an hour or two the first night, 3 hours the next day. It's awesome.
Is it?
Definitely awesome. Yes.
Okay, so what makes it awesome?
You get to shoot Nazis in the face constantly, and it's pretty cool, and you can dual wield all your weapons, and you can use those weapons to shoot the Nazis' corpses and mess around with the ragdoll physics. It's pretty cool.
You also, at some point, get a laser gun, which was kind of a selling point for me. Not only
yeah,
do you get to shoot Nazis, laser gun.
Yeah, there's lasers. In the 60s.
Okay.
This game does not take itself seriously, and it's amazing for it.
So, I was watching some, like a little bit of streams of this, and it seemed to kind of take itself seriously in what I was seeing. At least, like...
At some times.
There was a scene where... They're sitting down and he's getting some sort of test to figure out whether or not he has mixed blood. And it seemed pretty dead serious at that point in time.
It's a little all over the place story-wise. I mean, the story, like, the characters are really well written, which is interesting for a Wolfenstein game. Yeah. But everything else, I mean, it gets a little ridiculous sometimes where it's just like, oh, what do you want to do? I want to shoot Nazis in the face. It's like, okay then. Please do. Do it.
You and me both.
We'll give you all these guns.
And even that scene you're
talking
about...
Because who doesn't love doing that?
And even that scene you're talking about, Chris, ends up being kind of ham-fistedly ridiculous. Because the test is showing random pictures, and then it turns out, spoiler alert, the end of the test is the fact that you didn't pick up the pistol next to you shows you must be of pure blood. And then she laughs maniacally in her questionably weird German man toy, laughs as well, and then the robot...
She's so creepy. He's so creepy. I kind of love that guy.
And there are other things that rack up pretty quickly. I mean, like, one of the things that really cracked me up, every time you pick up a Nazi's helmet, you get 5 armor. But there's nothing that stops you picking up, like, 20 helmets in a row and maxing out your armor. Mm-hmm. So there's some dude running around with just 15 Nazi helmets on his head, just ready to take a bullet there.
He's just...
Yeah, that's what I like.
Compiled armor all over his body. It's all helmets. It's like a big ball.
I like
ball.
That it was, pretty old school, how you had to actually pick up armor and health kits.
There is still some health regen. You drop below 20, you come back to that, but otherwise, it's old school.
Yeah, you'd pick up all that stuff. I just don't like the fact that you... I mean, it's been said by other people, but you have to hit the button every time you want to pick something up.
Yeah, it almost means, like, for me on the PC, I'm just mashing E as I'm running around a room.
Yeah, I really miss the whole, let's just walk over a pickup and I have it, you know?
Yeah. Is there a sort of, like, macro you can make for the PC that just will mash E the entire while you're playing?
Yeah, I mean, I could do that. I haven't done it yet because I feel like I might get the sticky keys pop up. Like, you've been pressing E a lot recently. Is your E key stuck?
But yeah, game's really good. I'm very impressed with it. A couple weeks ago, I told everyone, you know, I played it at PAX, but... And that wasn't for that long, but I'm a couple hours in, and I'm really loving it.
They do
Much
a good job mixing up the settings as well. I mean, you're going from kind of one scene to the next, and there's even a bit in the kind of the opening prologue where you are climbing up a building with the rappelling jumps as rubble's falling around you, shooting Nazis out of the window as you're climbing up. And it goes from that to a point when you're raiding a tower in London, doing, like, sliding under rubble to avoid a Panzerhund.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Okay, what's a Panzerhund?
Giant robot dog.
Yep, with, like, artificial intelligence that makes it act like a dog, and they're like the size of a tank.
Yeah, they're really cool. That's what I love about the Wolfenstein series. It's like, yeah, they're Nazis, and, you know, they're awful things, but, oh yeah, we also have giant robots and laser guns and, yeah.
And stealth helicopters and mechs and Scottish dudes. I will say the one thing about the game that did kind of throw me off in a good way right off the bat was the end of the tutorial, and all of a sudden you got to pick which of the two guys dies.
Who'd you save?
I saved the pilot, and then I replayed it and saved the other guy, and then I replayed it and saved the pilot.
Okay, which one's the pilot?
Pilot's the Scottish dude, the one you start off with.
Oh yeah, I figured, you know, he's a cool guy. I like his accent, he'll entertain me.
Yeah, plus you start off in the plane and you jump out of an airplane with them. That's a bonding moment.
So yeah, I'll save the other guy next time I play through. You're playing on PC though, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, I got it on the PS4, so I'll play it again on there. Get all my trophies.
How does it look on the console for you? Because on the PC...
Really pretty.
I've had the weirdest thing. Playing the actual game runs beautifully, In the cutscenes, I get hitches. Everywhere else, game runs like a dream.
Oh, I'm not getting any hitches.
Oh, yeah, the nice thing is you get it optimized, but it's weird because my PC doesn't hitch. But for some reason on the cutscenes, I get hitches occasionally, which is the only technical thing I've noticed with the game so far. Everything else about it, it runs beautifully. And if I do Alt-Tab, it's a PC player, it just comes back in a window, which is usually a nice touch.
And I'm really liking the cutscenes, how it's not just... It's not... Well, you go into a normal another game, and you'll just walk up to someone, start talking, and they'll just start talking. But now they are actual cutscenes that you trigger. I think that's pretty cool.
Well, and they've got enough production value to them where you can kind of sit back. It draws you back into the game if you're getting too caught up on picking up ammo or something. You get a little bit of a, I want to kill him now. I got to save him.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
And I think the one thing we almost touched on earlier and we can't forget is that this is a glorious return of the greatest video game villains ever, Nazis.
Yeah, I mean, everyone likes killing Nazis.
I mean, like, you knew the last Indiana Jones was bad because they took Nazis out.
Yeah, yeah, it was, and
the formula.
Yeah, and
Shia LaBeouf, other bad things too. But if they just kept Nazis, they would have had that going for it. But it's kind of weird if you think about, like, back in the day, you couldn't like take two steps in any store without stumbling over a Call of Duty or a Medal of Honor or a Shoots Nazis 2 that were all set in World War II. And we've been on
Shoot Nazis 2. That's one of my favorite games.
Oh, it was a classic.
I felt like Shoot Nazis 3 really really jumped the shark though.
I thought it was pretty overdone.
Yeah, they didn't even have Nazis, so...
I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, bad game. Judging
bad
by
game,
the,
bad.
The non-Nazi formula.
No, but seriously, the new Wolfenstein is... it's pretty cool.
It also pretty gives cool. me a lot of hope to see what id's going to do with the new Doom. I'm really excited.
Yes, it does.
Using...
So you've...
What's the appetite?
You've beaten Wolfenstein.
The original one?
No, I mean the new one. That...
No, I haven't beaten it yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I haven't beaten it yet either. And I'm just in, like, this tower in London doing that thing.
I just wrapped up that level, actually, the other night.
Okay, cool. And I'm very impressed that there's no multiplayer. They didn't feel the need to shoehorn that in. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was nice. I feel like it would have been tacked on.
Oh, most definitely.
It probably would have distracted from the game that you guys enjoy so much, actually.
Yeah, I love Wolfenstein. I mean, Wolfenstein 3D, the original, is one of my earliest gaming memories, so it's just nice to be back in that world and still have it look good.
It looks great. Actually, the style was oddly reminiscent for me of Dishonored a little bit, which is partially just sort of the steampunk Nazi thing.
Okay,
but a
little
bit, like the way they kind of take the artistic angle, I mean, the buildings in the background, the way they're kind of, the way they're choosing... In some areas, artistic over hyper-realism for quality. Mm-hmm. And it's a really nice effect.
Did you get the secret level yet?
Did I get the what? I'm sorry, I missed that.
The secret level.
No, I must have missed the secret level.
Oh, okay. So this is the coolest part so far.
Spoilers,
when you first get to the...
Just
no, it's not spoilers. It's just an Easter egg. When you first get to the Resistance headquarters... There's a bunk upstairs with a mattress on the floor, and if you go to sleep on that mattress, you are transported to the first level of Wolfenstein 3D.
I almost did that. I did notice that upstairs near the tools, or maybe it was in the bathroom, there's a bunch of old Wolfenstein 3D like screenshots and small photos tacked up on the wall.
Yeah, sleep at that mattress, and you unlock the first level of Wolfenstein 3D, where it's all old graphics except for your hands. There are, like, the current guns and graphics.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'll have to go check
that. Yeah, and it's on nightmare mode, so good luck with that.
Oh, Lord.
All right.
What happens if you die in it?
You can maybe reload it. I'm not sure. I think it's just, like, a one-shot deal.
Mm.
But, yeah.
And he's gone.
Beauties of the internet, everyone.
Yeah.
Okay, you back?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm not editing that out. Let's go.
Oh, there was a robot?
No, you just disappeared. You just, like, vanished. We thought aliens took you. We thought the Nazis had come back in time. Through time.
I hope not.
Wait, come back in time?
Yeah,
what's going on that we don't know about?
The second Nazis. it's robo-Nazis at this point. They went forward in time, the ones that that they knew they were going to be extinguished when the war ended, and so they went forward in time and took over the future time, and now they're coming back to take over the past time.
It's a whole, like, Nazis Days of Future Past sort of thing?
Yeah, kinda. Except when they come back to take over present time, they won't exist in future time, so there'll be, like, a split timeline and things.
All right, this is like, this is meeting like Primer level of difficulty. So let's just jump down to the next game.
It's oh, Primer.
Okay, so what do you guys want to talk about?
Let's talk about Primer. No, I'm just kidding.
I've never seen Primer. Since Barry's not here, we can totally just go off on tangents as much as we want. I really don't care.
Yeah, let's not talk about Primer. I didn't like it.
Okay. Let's talk about Guacamelee for a little bit, because it's the only
okay
other than Final Fantasy VI and Warframe I've been playing.
Let's see. I love Mexican food, but I hate guacamole, so Guacamelee is right up my alley, because when I hear guacamole, I want to punch avocados in the mouth, because they're gross and disgusting.
Yeah, avocados are probably the worst.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Thank you. We agree on something. That's awesome.
James, would you mind weigh in on this whole avocado discussion?
I can appreciate it on a burger and a salad, or as a nice, you know, side on a steak by itself. Not feeling it.
Ugh.
Wow. Sounds like you're just fence sitting there.
Yeah, you gotta make a choice.
I'll join you guys on the no guacamole side.
No guacamole.
Hooray!
Side forever. So Guacamelee, I played through it on Vita, PS3, all that. Enjoyed the crap out of it. But I have it on PC now, thanks to, like, a Humble bundle at some point in time. I'm not quite sure when. That's how, like, my entire Steam collection is collected. Just through sort of getting these codes here or there and, like, Humble bundles. And I've got, like, 80 games now. I don't know where they came from.
And you will never play them.
Yeah.
As you were talking about Guacamelee, sure enough, I'm looking through my Steam collection like, oh, I guess I do have that game. Never played it. I should try it.
It's really
It's good. Pretty cool.
It's, So, I needed an excuse to play through it again, and I found it in the Steam Workshop, where you can turn your character into Johnny Bravo.
What?
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yes,
yeah. So, I'm playing the entirety of Guacamelee as Johnny Bravo, just walking around going, hey, baby, do the monkey with me. Just over and over and over again. It's the best thing. Because Guacamelee is a really good game, guys. Matt.
It is, but it gets so hard.
It, you know, towards the end, it kind of does.
Ugh.
Especially, was it Javier something other? He's a giant cheetah, and he's... Or Jaguar.
Yes.
And
Javier Jaguar.
He is, like, the hardest boss in the whole game. The final boss doesn't hold anything up to him. The final boss is just keep running, you know, like... Just don't...
I should probably go back and try to beat it.
You should. You should. Just keep using the dodge roll. You'll be fine.
Who doesn't love a good dodge roll?
That's one of my favorite things in 2D, like, fighting side scroll or whatever kind of games, is a good dodge roll. Because, like, this game has it, and Shank had it. And Shank 2 were, like... People make fun of Shank 2 a lot. I don't...
Shank 2 is fun.
Yeah, I don't quite get the hate, because it's a really good game. Like, maybe the story's stupid, yeah, but the gameplay is spot on, man.
Yeah, it's quite good.
Yeah, and it's got a really good dodge roll. So, like, you can juggle enemies and get ridiculously high combos and, you know, go through entire levels without even taking any damage if you can master that dodge roll. Because it'll just get you through anything. And the same can be said about Guacamelee. So, James, you need to play Guacamelee. It's like Metroid, you know, style game. Except
The Metroidvania is.
Yeah, Metroidvania. With tons of great, like, combat.
I actually have it 50% installed already. When we were talking, I just started installing it.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's probably, the whole game is, I'd say, 5 to 7 hours. It's not that long.
Yep. No, it's not very long at all.
So, yeah, actually, Matt, beat that on hard mode, and you think Javier's bad now? Like, playing
it on nothing to do with it.
Playing on a hard mode, he'll hit you like twice and you're dead. That's it.
Jesus.
Yeah. So don't make a mistake.
I don't want it. No. It hurts my feelings.
That game was extremely surprising with, like, its difficulty, because it's, you know, kind of cartoonish, so you think it's going to be one of those kind of, this is fun, just kind of enjoyable games. And then near the end, the difficulty ranks up, but then you have all these, like, side missions and stuff to get the mm-hmm. ending. And those areas, man, are super hard. There's like a Colosseum-like area where you just go through tons of enemies and they will throw everything at you. There's these giant skeleton guys, and they'll put like three of those guys in one room, like one tiny room, and say, okay, now you gotta kill them. And they're,
screw that noise.
They're like 40 feet tall. You're like, oh god, how am I supposed to do this? So, I don't know. I just really like Guacamelee, and I'm excited.
And the game is hilarious, so that helps.
It is, and playing as Johnny Bravo, even more hilarious.
Yeah.
They've got all sorts of other ones. Like, there's, you can play as Spider-Man. Someone just released one where you can play as Tomb Raider.
What?
Yeah. Let's see. Or Lara Croft, rather. There's Venom. There's the Punisher. There's He-Man. Like, there's just a lot of really cool stuff.
Ah, yes. The power of Grayskull.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about something else.
My PC died.
Really?
Rest in peace.
No! So, we were talking, like, was there smoke?
No, like, hard drive failed. Power surge.
Oh, well, I mean, hard drives are replaceable.
Yeah, no, but, like, everything on there, gone.
Broforce was just too intense for it?
You know, 6 years of my life, gone.
You didn't back up any of that, bro?
No, because I figured it would be safe, because I'm stupid. But no, yeah, my PC couldn't handle Broforce anymore, especially with that cool new update that's coming this week.
Is there another update coming to that game?
Yeah, you can. There's mechs now.
All right, I gotta play that game again.
Yes, you do. There's gonna be mechs. You can walk around in a mech and destroy everything.
Oh my god,
that game's gonna be so glorious when it's done.
I can't wait for it on Vita.
Yeah, that's gonna be good.
Yeah, it will. It'll happen. We all know it'll happen at this point, but...
Oh, yeah.
It just...
Man. Just give it time.
Games,
give it time.
I'm going to go play some Broforce, like, right after this.
Okay, see ya. No, oh, no, after the podcast.
After this,
okay,
yeah,
cool.
Not in the middle of the podcast. So your PC died and you lost everything. Are you sad now?
I lost everything. I'm trying not to think about it, because if I think about it, everything dies. All humans on Earth will die.
All right, so don't think about it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's dead. Rest in peace.
Hey, James, speaking of PCs, you've been playing lots of stuff. You played that Dead Island Epidemic?
Yeah, I got a chance. I mean, we got something up on the website about it, which is a great chance for people to go check out and read that. It's a weirdly addicting game. It's got a lot of the mechanics of stuff you'll see in your typical MOBA stuff. But, I mean, so if you're familiar with Han or Dota or those other lane games...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it switches it up in a way that's actually kind of fun. It makes it nicely accessible. You're not going head-to-head isn't the best way to win, isn't to wipe out the other team. The best way to win is to either A, avoid them, or B, kind of scavenge off of them. And it runs three teams, and it kind of plays top-down. Did you ever play Alien Swarm on Steam when they released that for free? I think it's still free.
Alien Swarm.
Yeah, it's kind of a not quite like top-down. Like, you still move with W, A, S, and D, and you move your cursor to shoot, but it's top-down when you're doing that.
Ugh, WASD.
Yeah.
But I know what you're talking
about. Like that, beating up zombies, shooting guns. And it's cool. I mean, there's some co-op, single-player stuff, but that tends to be actually just kind of a drag. I mean, it's a good way to level up and get some experience in the game. But, frankly, running around online, it's really addicting. I meant to play it for like 45 minutes a night after work a few nights to get some stuff for the article, and I ended up staying up all night playing it. It was weird because I did not expect that. It's one of those games I'm like, oh, I'll put half an hour in. I'll learn about it, play a few nights and kind of get a feel for it. And it totally drew me in. A bunch of people running around, beating up zombies. Because however much it makes me a terrible person, best part of the game is when you're all fighting the big boss and another team comes and helps and they're not attacking you, they're attacking the big boss. And right as it's about to die, your whole team just turns on him and wipes him out, then takes all the loot from the big boss. It feels amazing. It's just like what would actually happen in a real zombie apocalypse. You're friends until you have a chance to kill them. And you take all their stuff. And then you take all their stuff and run it back to a truck. It's a really simple premise, but it's kind of nice. It doesn't have the same almost exclusive depth that you see in games like Dota, where you have to learn the perfect item list and everything like that, start the game out. So there's a certain element. You drop in, grab a keyboard and mouse, and run around killing zombies with the team. So it did that really well. It actually did kind of set itself aside from the other games I've played. So shout out to the developers of that game and anyone who has time to go sign up for the beta, if they're still in closed beta. They should totally check it out.
Oh, it's not out yet?
I'm not sure.
This was a thing.
I was in closed beta when I got a chance to play it, and you know what? Let me look it up on Steam right now. It may be out now.
Speaking of Steam, I looked up Alien Swarm. It is, in fact, still free. Looks pretty good.
Which is a great game. If you're ever looking for a co-op game just to run around with a few people, Alien Swarm's a super fun game. Huh, what do you know? Looks like Dead Island Epidemic. Oh, it's classified as early access now.
Okay. And
it looks like... It looks like it's a free-to-play game that has some entry-level things where you can, you know, get some free in-game stuff. So they're doing the free-to-play model on it.
Neat.
Free-to-play. Interesting.
Free-to-play.
Yeah, I always have mixed feelings about free-to-play games. I've encountered a couple of good ones, so I can't say they're all bad.
Like what? So okay, so let's go down this free-to-play thing again.
Again?
Yeah, again, because Barry got me hooked on Hearthstone.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really, really enjoying Hearthstone. Have you played it, James? I ask rhetorically. I think because I'm pretty sure I know the answer.
You know, I actually haven't played Hearthstone.
What?
Do I need to check it out?
Yeah, it's really good, man. I mean, it's really, really good. It's like...
I have also not played Hearthstone.
Well, you can't now.
So, Chris, is it really, really good?
It is... I mean, I don't want to use the word really too much because it's not very, it's not really good to use that when you're talking about games journalism. But,
really?
It's really, really, really good. Man.
It's quite good. Try that.
It's
quite.
Enjoyable. It's enjoyable. It, exceeds.
Okay, so what am I looking at? It's like a card game and like not a card game.
No, it's totally just a card game.
Okay, so that's the one thing I'm going against it, is I've lost, like, I don't know how much money in years of my life to Magic the Gathering. I'm not sure I want to open that door again.
I'm guessing that's exactly what Hearthstone is.
It's close. So, the basics of Hearthstone, like, just go through the tutorial, it's free to play. Every time you get 100 gold, you can just buy a pack, and you get gold from, like, just completing daily quests. You get 10 gold from winning 3 matches. Like, you can get 100 gold relatively easy. But the basics are that there are 9 different classes that you play as, and each different class has specific cards that they can use, and then there's also a set of neutral cards that you can mix in that any class can use. On top of that is each class has a special power that they can use once per turn that will help them in some way. So, like, the mage is the one you start off with, and her power is it costs 2 mana and you can do 1 damage to basically any enemy on the field or to the class. So, like, the way you win is 2 people are fighting, you've got 30 health apiece, then you throw out your minions to do damage to the other person. So, you start off kind of simple, just like that, and then everything just gets nuts as you compile all these different cards together and you try to make, like, the best deck for this class to fight against this class, and, you know, if I'm fighting against, like, my mage deck is really strong now, like, I feel pretty confident in it, unless I'm fighting someone like a paladin, who can just... He can just summon, like, a minion every turn. And he's only got 1 health and 1 attack, but then he's got tons of boosts in the back, so he can give that thing, like, +3 attack, +10 defense, or 10 health, and suddenly he's, like, an insurmountable character, and he can summon one of these every single turn. So, you know, but then I can go and counter that with a card that just turns his card into a sheep. And totally takes away all of his buffs and brings it back down to 1 health and 1 attack. So there's... It seems very simple at first, like most really good games, but then once you get into it, it's like very, very complex. And then it has that ability that some games do where it just tells you, or it just makes you feel like, okay, just one more game. I got time for just one more game.
Just one more. Yeah, just one more.
Just one more.
Everything you're telling me says Magic the Gathering, which, if anything, is a great compliment to the game.
It's a really good game. And also, you can play it, and it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg if you don't want it to. So, like, that's the one thing I have against Magic the Gathering. It's something I've always wanted to get into. But the initial investment is ridiculous at this point. You know, if I want to go play against somebody that really knows how to play Magic the Gathering and really learn from them, how many hundreds of dollars am I going to have to spend?
Actually, Magic is one of those... Magic is like a perfect addiction. There's actually not a big buy-in. You start off small, like, no, I'll just try meth once. And it's not good. But then it's like, oh, but I could get more cards, and maybe if I buy more of these, I'll find the perfect fix.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what gets you about it. And the truth is, that's what a good free-to-play game is. It's like, no, the first taste is free. Your second mech bay, you're going to have to pay for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So... that's what roped me in about freaking Warframe. I spent more platinum on opening new slots to have more characters than anything else.
Yep. Also, for what it's worth, I'm now installing battle.net to play Hearthstone.
Yeah, you need
really bad for my hard drive space.
You really need to get Hearthstone. But yeah, once that's all set up, we can play together. And the tutorial's like 6 matches. And just teaches you basically everything you need to know. It's extremely simple.
6 matches.
Yeah, it's like 6 matches, and they're all like 5 minutes apiece.
I hate tutorials.
I do too. Man, you know, I was looking at my games today because I wanted to play something new, or not necessarily new, but something I haven't really played a whole lot of. And I couldn't find anything in my little game bin that didn't look like it would have like a 45-minute to 2-hour tutorial.
Yeah, can we just stop with the tutorials? Can we just make them optional forever?
That'd be great.
From now on.
You know?
That'd be awesome.
I know this is tangent material, but man, worst tutorial I ever played, Assassin's Creed 3. I lost part of my life.
It was 10 hours long.
Oh, it was. I thought people were joking, like exaggerating, and then I sat down to play it, and I had to go take a meal break.
Yeah, not a joke. Not a joke.
Yeah.
It's so long and boring. So boring.
I really think, like, RPGs are probably the most egregious with this whole thing.
Oh, most definitely.
And that's what I play the most, so, like, I love a good RPG. Gosh dang it, man. I hate the first, like, 4 hours of every RPG. It's always the worst.
Because they always treat you like you've never played an RPG before.
Yeah, right? That's
it's like, this is your first time around. What are you talking about, my first time?
I know what XP is for. I know how to win battles. Believe it or not, I know how to choose things on a menu. I'm pretty good at that at this point. You know?
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, like...
point and click.
I will press buttons until I figure out what happens. Of course, on the flip side of that, my wife has been playing...
My wife.
She's been playing Skyrim for, you know, hundreds of hours at this point. And I've watched her for a good chunk of this. We both just figured out where the quick select menu was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Have, you know,
it's been so long since I played Skyrim, I don't even know if there is a quick select menu.
Yeah, you favorite things. Like, you go to the real menu and you favorite things. And then you press up or down on the D-pad and it shows all your favorites. And you can equip them right there.
It's like, I didn't know that was real.
You have like a bunch of buttons.
Yeah. We don't have a nice... I have a decent PC. It can play Broforce really well.
Yeah, James, have you played Broforce?
Actually, I have not. I keep hearing about it. My other gaming buddies keep telling me I got to try it.
You need to get some Broforce in your life.
Yeah.
It is the salvation.
It's pretty awesome. But back to tutorials. You know, I think... probably the reason... I want to talk about this for a little while, if we can.
Okay.
The reason I love Dark Souls so much is because there is basically no tutorial. Like, it shows you...
Yeah, they
shows you
the teach buttons. You as you go along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they teach you by killing you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I don't know, maybe the whole game is a tutorial at that point. But, I don't know, it shows you the buttons to press to attack, and then it's like, alright, go have fun, in quotes... go enjoy yourself, I guess.
Oh, come on. That game is fun.
That game
You're crazy.
A lot of fun.
It's so delightful.
Dark Souls.
That whole series is good.
It's like in my top 10 at this point, man. That elation when I beat that final boss, bro. No.
Have you seen the screenshots that have leaked from the new one?
You're talking about that Project Beast or something like that?
Yes, yes.
I have not, but I'm looking them up.
Yeah, it's basically going to be a sequel to Dark Soul to Demon Souls, because you know Sony still owns the rights, and it's going to be a PS4 game.
Mm-hmm.
This excites me to no end. I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
Yeah, I really do want to play Dark Souls 2. I'm just kind of waiting because they're going to release that on PS4, right? Like,
maybe.
That really
possibly.
Really seems like something they would do. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't at this point. You know, because they've got the PC version, and so like any up-resing or whatever, that work's kind of accomplished. And I'm not saying that porting anything to anything is just like a simple, you know, click save as kind of thing. Half the work's got to be done at this point, though. Like, I really
because it's on PC.
I just don't want to play on my PS3 for two reasons. One, because I want more reason to use my PS4. And two, my PS3 is on its last legs. Like, it's on its last toe at this point. I don't know how long it's got left in it.
Mine's dead.
Yeah, yours is just flat out dead. But mine sounds like a jet engine immediately. Like, it doesn't even have to, you know.
Mine makes no noise.
Well, yeah, yours is a good paperweight at this point.
Yeah. It plays digital stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yours does, again.
Placing a hard drive isn't that hard.
Yeah, but then I got to download everything again and...
See, I built from the ground up, so every time I lose a hard drive, it's like, oh, I got the stuff sitting in a drawer. I have like a quick start kit.
And it's not the hard drive that's dead. It's the actual like laser.
The blazer? I'm not sure what kind.
The laser, the one that reads the disc.
You said the blazer.
The
I'm like the coat.
I beat mine up enough where I physically just replaced the entire hard drive apparatus.
Plug you,
but no, you.
You've probably got like two hard drives or so plugged in there just as a backup, though.
I'm running three right now, a 500 gigabyte, an 800 gigabyte, and a 3 terabyte.
Jesus Christ.
What do you need all that space for?
Adobe programs files. Like the other day, I just created a single JPEG file for a project I was working on that was 800 megabyte on photo.
Whoa. Okay.
Much megabytes. Wow.
Such information storage.
Such pixel.
Okay.
All right, so I got a question. Look at our list of games. What is Mercenary Kings? You guys both brought it up. You both had pretty strong reactions. What is Mercenary Kings?
It's a boring game.
It's a game I don't like.
No, it's fine. Okay, so did you ever play Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game?
No, I didn't have a chance.
Okay, really good game. You should go play that game.
That game is fantastic.
Yeah, that game is kind of like one of the best side-scroller beat-em-ups in a long time. Or, you know, it's like 6 years old at this point or something. It's real old. It's still really good. But this is by the same people that made that. So it's got the pixel art style. It's got the same kind of animation, which is all fantastic. The gameplay itself, though, and maybe I'm just bad at video games... I am bad.
You're not bad at video games. You beat Dark Souls.
Yeah, I'm bad at.
Don't short serve yourself.
Whatever. still.
Whatever.
It's kind of just bland. Like the whole crutch of the game is that you're going through these missions, killing people, gathering materials, and making crazy guns. Really haven't been able to do much of the crazy gun making, so that's maybe where it stops. But it did not pull me in. Like at all within I played like 2 hours of it, and it plays kind of like Mega Man. I like to say, except just kind of boring, man. Just there's nothing to it. Okay, I'm gonna walk through. I'm gonna shoot these guys, and
it tries too hard to be quirky.
You think so?
Yeah, it's like we're these fun, interesting little characters, but meh, whatever.
And there's no substance to it. It's like, yeah, it's all flash and no gameplay.
It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
I've already deleted it off my hard drive.
Why? You've got...
It was free, but whatever. I I have room for other stuff now.
Yeah, room for nothing, because there's nothing else.
Yeah, I got really bored with it.
Yeah, I don't know. Mercenary Kings is an alright game. Some people really like it. There's just a lot more. There's a lot more other stuff. Words that didn't sound right. There's a lot of other things out there that you can play right now that are potentially much more enjoyable than Mercenary Kings. So that's what Mercenary Kings is, James.
Yeah, it's not very good.
It's a boring game to ignore. But you've been playing a not boring game to ignore called Dark Souls 2.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think we all have. Have we all?
No.
No, he hasn't.
Oh.
I just want to live vicariously through you, please, for a little bit.
How do you like it?
I'm loving it. I mean, of course, and I it was hard for me because when it first came out, I almost went out and just bought it on 360 right away. And I held off like, no, they say the PC release is going to be good this time. I mean, to be fair, I loved Dark Souls 1 so much. I played it in the PC. I just had to do a couple of guys out there in the community released some good fixes for it that let you mess with the resolution settings. Because otherwise, oh. Dark Souls 1 on the PC played at 720, I think.
Okay.
Whatever.
And that was the max resolution setting. Well, I like a pretty game. And I'll say this, the new game, it's A, gorgeous, and B, it runs on the PC like a dream. I haven't had a chance to mess with it, but I hear from some of the other guys I play with, they even cleaned up the keyboard and mouse controls enough to make that something pretty that's pretty reasonable. So far, though, the game's awesome, although it did do a couple of things that kind of freaked me out. Like Matt, have you had a chance to play Dark Souls 2? Or is this
I didn't get very far.
You're bad at video games.
I get distracted easily.
Well, in that case, Chris, I can say this to you, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Because they changed a couple of things that's pretty interesting. So, Dark Souls 1, your weapons start to wear down, but frankly, I never had a weapon break on me. Within one life, your weapon will break in Dark Souls 2.
Whoa.
The second you rest or sleep, it will instantly go back to full. But you have to adventure with a backup weapon that you're good with.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Down the road, it's a huge
that's
deal.
Awesome.
But when
Isn't
your
it?
Starting choice is a broadsword or a hilt that has a sharp point on it,
uh-huh.
It's like, well, there goes my broadsword, and now I do 5 damage a hit. Me and the skeleton are going to tango for like 45 minutes. It also happened to your shield, so that's one thing. The second touch to it, and at first I hated it, now I love it. Every time you die, your max hit points gets decreased until you go human again.
It's like Demon Souls. Yep.
Yeah. Which just means that when a level's hard, it makes itself insanely harder.
Yeah.
It gets way harder.
Because,
yes.
I mean, in Demon Souls, you would go down to 50% health when you were
in
Souls.
And that's
where
it stops. In the... Yep. The counterpoint to that is that it seems, at least where I'm at so far, that human effigies, what lets you go human, a lot more common.
Really?
Oh, they don't get common later on.
I know, but like earlier in the game when you're still trying to figure stuff out, it's
yeah, but
it's
after
hard.
A while, you're going to need them towards the end and you won't be able to find them anywhere.
But there's
that's,
a couple places
that's
that
the
just
downside.
Sell them. There are a few merchants that just sell them, though.
With a limited amount.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one woman, she has like 5 on her and then that's it. She doesn't restock. Oh, she has a terrible supplier.
Wow, yeah. She needs to take some pointers from Walmart. Supply and demand. Keep those things on hand like a fortune. So it did some stuff like that really well, and I've appreciated a lot of the changes. The biggest thing is it just... Mm. Well, they have a new attribute which defines how effective your dodges are. That was terrifying for me.
Because
we talked about dodge rolls before. Dodge rolls are how you survive video games.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if you have... I forget what the name of the attribute is, but if it's really low, the time span inside of the dodge roll that you're invincible, essentially, is insanely reduced.
It's a pretty mean game.
Yeah. Like, it's like if the guy, you know, the bully who took your lunch money, like, you transferred schools and he transferred there with you, but he's also now allowed to use, like, a weapon. So, not only is he bigger than you in a fist, but he's got, like, a machete sticking out of his belt or something. There's a new level to it, but at the same time, it's almost more self-aware of that. They've kind of played on it. Right in the middle of the main city is a giant altar. If you go up and examine it, it has the amount of times everyone in the game has died.
Yes, it's awesome. And by the
it's
second
beautiful.
Day of the game being released, it was like in the millions. It was awesome.
Second day of the PC release, 12 million deaths.
Delightful.
That's insanity.
It's beautiful. They nailed it.
Yeah, game's good, and it's definitely a contender for, like, you know, end of the year talk.
Yeah, it's a pretty. It kept what made the earlier game good, and it actually changed enough to make it a sequel.
Hell yeah!
So, as far as, like, story is concerned, they delve. I mean, I should say, is the storytelling any better? Because in Dark Souls 1, it wasn't that it was. Well, no, it was bad. Like, the storytelling was just kind of bad because they didn't really tell you what was going on. There was exposition, but you kind of had to read the descriptions of items to.
Oh, that was my favorite part.
Yeah, it's okay, but you know, I'm a dumb American gamer, and I'd like a little bit more. Just tell me what's going on, kind of stuff. Is there any more of that, or is it still super vague?
I'm not sure there's more exposition, and Matt, you may have gotten some that's in play in the earlier in the game, but it seems like they lay out a little bit of what you're doing more. Like, the reasons for it aren't there so much. The reasons are you want to kill monsters because it's fun. It seems like I understood what I was doing a little more. It wasn't one of those. The first time I played Dark Souls, I spent 3 to 4 hours doing my best to crawl through the crypts with the skeletons that come back to life unless you use a holy weapon. I didn't know that. I spent 4 hours there. Before I realized, oh, I can go the other way.
Haha.
Wait a minute. You can kill those with a holy weapon?
Did you not know that?
Well, I mean, there's a summoner in those tombs where if you kill him, they stop coming back. Or
yeah, but if you just use a weapon that's blessed with holy, they stay dead.
Oh, my God. No, I didn't know that. Here's how I got rid of them. I made them jump off cliffs. I would get them to trying to attack me and then double back around them and keep kicking them until I kicked them off a cliff.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's how I got through that part of the game. And then I would go find the magician or whatever and kill him.
Yeah, once I finally got to that point, my strength was high enough. I was one-handing a Black Knight greatsword, and then I had an Estoc rapier that was like +5 with holy in the other hand. So I'd beat him once with the greatsword, kill him with the rapier.
Better at video games than me.
Awesome.
Oh man, yeah.
You're not very good at video games, are you?
I cheesed my way through good chunks of that game.
But cheesing Dark Souls isn't a strike against you. It's like a stripe you wear with honor. You're like, yeah, I killed that boss by having him run off a tower. Isn't that kind of cheap? Not in Dark Souls.
Yeah, like I killed that mini boss with about 900 arrows. You know, it cost me a lot of souls to do that, and I only got like a great dark soul or something for it. Great dark soul.
Great. Yeah. Great soul, great.
Great. Good soul is very good. It's a very, very soul.
It's a very good soul.
So, I've also heard that in this Dark Souls 2, that after you kill like an enemy like 10 times, he's straight up dead.
They don't respawn after a while, so there's no way to like easily farm for souls anymore.
There are some items you can actually pop. When you pop the item, it spawns everything in the dungeon.
Are those items unlimited?
I don't know, because frankly, if an enemy stops respawning for me, I A, take that as the shame that I should, and B, I'm happy I don't have to kill it.
I just imagine there being a point where, you know, like, not necessarily farming for souls, but farming for, like, the effigies would become kind of an issue. You know, because in Dark Souls 1, there was, like, certain enemies that would continually drop that sort of stuff. Like, they would drop humanity. Like, the rats, for one, like, dropped humanity at a higher rate than anything else. So, if you ever needed to get some humanity, you just went down to the sewers and started killing rats for a couple hours. And I just don't know if, like, I don't know, man. Farming in Dark Souls was kind of a big deal to me, and I'm not quite sure. Is there a certain point where, like, the world is just empty and there's nothing to kill anymore?
I hope not.
Yeah. But maybe that'd be good for, like, in the in-game lore. Like, well,
when you get there, you failed. Make a new character, restart the game.
I'm not gonna do that.
That would be terrible.
So... what is going on? What is that music?
What do you mean?
Dude, someone's got an ice cream truck.
Yeah.
Oh, he drove. Yeah, just drove past my.
Was
house.
That really an ice cream truck? I thought that was like your
yes,
phone
it
or
was.
Something.
No, it was the ice cream.
Yeah, that was magical. You should have left the podcast and gone get some ice cream.
Hell no.
Okay.
Hey, crazy.
So is there any other games you guys want to talk about?
Excited about Watch Dogs, but...
Yeah?
That's pretty much it.
I really want to play Transistor.
I really want to play Transistor, too.
I'm so ready to just hit purchase right now.
So am I.
Maybe I'll just go trade some in. I don't know.
I told my wife, I said, I want this game. I know we can't afford to get it right now, but I'm going to buy this game, so you need to tell me when I can. So in a few days, I imagine, you know, after a couple paychecks come in, she'd be like, okay, now here we have $20 to spare. Go buy that game you want.
I mean, it's times like this you kind of wish that your PS4 could take, like, coins, like an arcade machine. Because, I mean, I'm staring at a bucket of quarters right now, and I would love to just put them into the PlayStation and be like, yeah, I paid it for it.
You know what?
Give me a Transistor.
You could just go down to your local GameStop or Target or whatever and just pay for that in quarters.
Yeah.
Quarters and pennies.
It's embarrassing.
That's not embarrassing. Come on. That'd be a fun experiment.
No, I don't think it would. I think it would get me frowned upon at that store now.
What do they care? They're getting your money.
Not if you rolled the quarters. At that point, you become the guy who bought it in quarters, but in a nice way.
Yes.
All right, go to the bank, get your quarters turned into a $20 bill.
The bank? It's 6:30 on a Saturday. Do you think they're open?
I don't know what goes on in this magical land you live in.
New Jersey?
Yeah, New Jersey.
Yes. I'm not sure magical's the right word, Chris.
Well, no, I mean,
again, compared
banks
to us,
closed.
James, we live in caves over here in Colorado. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, when we want money, we just go up and use a club.
Yeah. We're still using teeth to exchange over here.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Teeth and tree bark as currency.
Transistor actually costs 14 teeth. So,
oh, God, that's painful.
Yeah,
no.
You know, my wife and I are thinking about having some more kids so just so that we can harvest their teeth. And this is a weird thing that I...
Oh, that just got dark. Creepy. What the hell,
yeah,
man?
We're not touching that. Quick, transition to the end or another game. Let's get Chris out of this.
Oh, my God. Thanks for the nightmare fuel. I'm gonna have a nightmare tonight where, like, you and your wife are, like, hatching a plan to, like, harvest the neighborhood kid's teeth. It's gonna be terrible.
Teeth harvesting. Oh, man.
Where she's gonna dress up as the tooth fairy to, you know, like, put on airs and just, you know, so the kids don't think it's weird, but then you jump out of, like, from the closet with pliers. Just like,
pliers,
give me your teeth, kid.
All right.
No!
We're done here.
Come on, I'll give you a dollar.
No, I won't. I need the teeth. Yes. I don't have dollars.
Yeah, well, that's what the tooth fairy does. Leaves, like, some change underneath the bed for the tooth.
Yeah. So if you like the show, you can follow us on Twitter. We're at LevelSave. Like us on Facebook. We're just LevelSave. You can comment on the article on the show on levelsave.com. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. That would be fantastic.
That's nice and helpful for us.
Yes, it very much is. You can also follow all of us on Twitter. Matt is at TheRealMattC. James, you're at Jimmy M. Redmond. James?
That's correct.
Okay. and I am at SnookleSox. I thought you were just waiting, like, just seething in anger over there that I did your name wrong.
No, I get feedback on my mic, so I mute it when I'm not talking. And I was away from the desk right when you said that, so I was running back to unmute it to agree.
Okay. So that's pretty much it. If you don't like the show, let us know why, and we'll change it to suit your needs, because video...
We ain't changing nothing.
Hey, if Mass Effect can do it, so can we.
Not for... No. Oh, no. If you don't like the show, go listen to something else.
Yeah, there's a billion podcasts out there.
If you don't like it, you clearly smell like butt, so we don't want you listening anyway, because you're a butt smell.
Okay, the show's over now. I'm bored.
Bye, guys.
Oh, welcome.
Bye.
Oh, welcome.
Oh,
thank you, James. I thought I was gonna have to remind you. Don't make me remind you. Don't make me come over there with my club.
Harvest your teeth.
Cave Chris bigger than Cave Jim.
Oh, man.
We have fun here.
I have been hitting the gym a lot recently, so.
The gym?
Yeah, man.
Well, I gotta say, the gym's great, but nothing says losing weight like a fever that takes 15 to 20 pounds off
your body. Yeah, jeez, man. What's... Did you really lose like 15 pounds?
Give or take, yeah.
How? Where?
Jesus Christ.
I don't know. They found new places for me to lose weight from.
You're a pretty slender
fella. My rib cage was like grabbable. Like each rib was sort of like, take one home with you.
Ugh.
That's more horrifying than teeth harvesting.
No, dude.
Teeth, that's probably the worst thing I've ever heard.
Because you understand the after effect of teeth harvesting. Because if it's just one, like, you just feel that dry socket where your tongue is, and it's going to start to get infected.
Oh, no,
something.
I need all the teeth.
All the teeth. If it's all the teeth, and then like, if you're taking my teeth, I don't have money for other things, so I'm not going to have, like, dentures. I'm just going to have to, like, gum stuff. And nothing is more...
These are, like, children.
Yeah.
Which makes it even more terrifying. Like, seriously, I'm going to rank this in one of the worst ways to die, eaten alive by toothless children.
Oh, no. I don't want that. That's scary. I don't like it.
There you
it.
Go. We just designed the new Raven Home. We just like designed the new horror level of any video game. Developers, that one's for you guys.
Gum
sure enough, next year the new Resident
Evil. Toothless children.
Actually, to be fair, like there have been babies in video games that are terrifying. To this day, Dead Space. Oh my god, like the crazy dead babies in Dead Space.
Yeah, I don't like them. They're not cool.
Yeah. You know,
I played that in Dead Space. In
Dead Space 3, they got rid of the babies and they're all dogs.
Yeah, that was weird.
He became a little more like, we gotta make it more blockbustery. Like, I think if they could have, they would have cast, like, opposing co-stars of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Vin Diesel fighting space zombies.
I would have paid for the Action Star DLC if Schwarzenegger was in that game. That would have been awesome.
That sounds like a pretty awesome game. Not what I wanted in Dead Space, though. Like, I would pay for that as a separate game. Vin Diesel and Arnold Schwarzenegger fighting aliens? Yes.
They could do it. They could do, like, Dead Space Blood Dragon.
I would buy
a totally different game.
I would totally buy Dead Space Blood Dragon.
We both bleed the same? No, I bleed red, white, and blue.
Dead Dragon. That's what I want.
Yes. Or Space Dragon.
I'd play the shit out of that.
Freaking Dead Space 3.
You know, there's so many opportunities for a great, like, a terrible space RPG. And this is drawn on, like, the tombs of geek lore, but man, if they ever made a good Spelljammer RPG, like, orcs on actual wooden ships in space with giant space hamsters as pets for rangers running around attacking each other.
My god, that sounds awesome. What is that?
It was an old expansion for Dungeons & Dragons. Yeah, it was a thing. It was called Spelljammer. And if you ever played the old Baldur's Gate games, the guy who referred to having a space hamster was a reference to this setting of D&D. There was a whole setting that was based on, like, naval wooden ships with, like, orcs were space pirates who, like, the ships would have magical generators for oxygen somehow or something, and they'd sail through space, and rangers often had their ranger pets of giant space hamsters, and it was hilariously great. Yeah. It was a thing.
That sounds bitchin'.
I'm looking at pictures of this now, and this looks like the dumbest and the best at the same time.
Like, if you got the right developer, you could make the best DLC for a game based on Spelljammer.
I want it now.
It's just,
yeah, there are some truly great images on Google Image Search for Spelljammer.
It's just nautical like ships in space.
Yeah, and some of them look like sail ships or barges or things like that. Yeah,
what I wanted to talk about on the show.
What?
Borderlands on the Vita.
You play it?
Yeah, I have it.
The show's still going. Whatever, man. Keep going.
Oh, it's
at this
really
point,
cool.
I would.
Like,
here's
it.
What I'm gonna do. I'm gonna start the ending music and then just get a record scratch at about a minute in.
like a postscript.
Yeah.
No, Borderlands 2 is pretty cool. It's not the best version of the game, but hey, it's Borderlands. Whatever.
You know, I was thinking about buying that anyway, just because. Even if it doesn't play all that great, like, just having Borderlands on the go, man, sounds great.
I know.
The more and more I hear about the Vita, the more I just think, man, that sounds like a really great mobile platform.
Yeah.
It is.
Which is something I haven't thought as an adult. Because I remember as a kid and I had a Game Boy and anything was like, oh my god, I have Tetris and I'm in the car. This changes everything.
Yeah.
And it did.
And now I'm like, ah, I don't know. I got Minecraft on my cell phone, so...
Yeah, but that's kind of garbage. Like, Minecraft...
Oh, it really is.
It's coming to the Vita, August, I think, they just announced.
Oh. Only 3 years left. That's cool.
Yeah, whatever. but, like, that's... I mean, even the crap version, the iOS port, mm-hmm. like, I still spent, like, 50 hours in that stupid thing.
Yeah.
Just building a big old castle made of glass.
I'm looking at games I can trade in for Transistor.
Every time I hear you guys talk about the stuff from the Vita, it makes me jealous. It sounds like a really solid platform with good, actually, games, not, like, weird ports or just continuations of franchises, which works. Like, I still don't own it, but every time I'm in a store, I'm like, man, if I bought a 3DS, I could play Pokemon.
Yeah.
But that would be
you should get a 3DS. It's a great system.
Yeah, like,
but
it's
what
awesome.
Else is there on the 3DS aside from Pokemon?
There's like hundreds of
A Link to the Past.
Super Mario 3D Land.
Screw all that. A Link to the Past.
Yeah, well.
A Link to the Past is really good.
Okay.
So, like, on my Vita, I'm looking at Hotline Miami, Super Stardust Delta, Sound Shapes, Decoro, Mutant Blob Attacks, Lone Survivor, Super Crate Box, Dragon Fantasy, and Dive Kick. That's just one little folder I have. And I've got, for some odd reason, I have Medieval, the PS1 game on there.
That game's awesome.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VI and Patapon 2. Also, the Japanese version of Mega Man 2. And then...
Okay.
Metal Gear Solid, Rayman Origins, Final Fantasy X-2, Little Big Planet, and Zero Escape, Virtue's Last Reward. Some weird Japanese game. Anyway, like that's my Vita, and honestly, a lot of that didn't really cost me all that much, because that PlayStation Plus, man, some of these
games... They just throw games at
you. Some of these games are flat free. Other games I bought for like $2.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, Vita's like... I couldn't be happier. I have so many games on this thing, and it's only been out for like 2 years at this point.
Yeah, that's where it's at.
Yeah,
lots of fun.
Especially for indie titles, man.
And that's what it's. And that's every time that I hear about. That's what intrigues me, because I mean, if it's on the 3DS, the 3D thing is kind of cool, but you have to go through the whole. I mean, it's going to be a big name, at least producing company that puts it out.
Yeah,
but I mean. I love Hotline Miami and running around hyper 80s violence sitting somewhere in an airport. Mm-hmm. I might have to watch what I say out loud, but
I love
sounds awesome.
Freaking love Hotline Miami. I'm so excited about Hotline Miami 2.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
The only issue I have with Hotline Miami is when I play it on a big screen, the fact that it's that low res like draws me into the game, and when I'm done, I feel like I've been brainwashed to commit acts of violence. Because I mean, my screen is big enough where, like, when I'm playing an FPS, the hand of the character on my screen is bigger than my hand in real life.
Yeah. Brag.
No, it's weird. Like, in most games, it's fine, but the first time I played Hotline Miami, I had to, like, I switched over to my Xbox, like, a wired controller, and I had to just move away from the screen.
Yeah, it's kind of...
It was just,
crazy.
Overloaded me. It was intense. Anyway,
that's... Now that's the end of the podcast.
Okay. Follow us on Twitter and check out us out on the website and the Facebooks. And...
I did all that already.
Yay.
Yeah, I'll loop it back
in. Do it again.
We should do that at the beginning of the podcast so we can just kind of end whenever. Like a hard stop.